This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وإن على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. أما بعد. So, inshallah, today we start a new series, another surah, and it is Surah Al-Hujurat. And we'll explain, inshallah, the meaning of Al-Hujurat, inshallah, when we come to the particular ayah that mentions that word. So to begin with, this surah is a surah that was revealed in Medina. And you will get the sense of that because the surah will talk about manners and etiquettes and the occasions for which some of these ayahs were revealed, يعني أسباب النزول بعض الآيات تدل على أنها من المدينة. So the occasions of why some of these ayat were revealed will tell you that it is in Medina. So the entire surah has the feel of a surah from Medina because it addresses the believers, and that is a characteristic of a surah in Medina. It addresses the believers, it talks about rulings, and what it refers to are incidents that happened in Medina. So this surah, as we said, in general, it has a lot of etiquettes, adab, manners. And these are related to how a Muslim is to deal with Allah, with his Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the believers, with the types of believers, and what happens where there are conflicts between the believers, believers that you agree with, believers that you disagree with, believers who follow the path, believers who don't. So it is important for us, because it has these series of adab, to absorb what it says and to follow it and to understand it. And the first ayah has the most important adab, because this is an adab with Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in it, Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O you who have iman, do not put anything ahead of the messenger, ahead of Allah and the messenger, or do not step ahead of Allah and His messenger. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have taqwa of Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-hearing and all-knowledgeable, all-knowing. It begins with, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and you'll find that repeated in the ayat. So when you hear, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, what comes to your mind? That Allah Azza wa Jal is alerting those who have iman that follow what I'm going to tell you because of the iman that you have. So if you call people by a name, by a designation, meaning because of it, do this. Ya Ahla Bay'ati Radwan, right? Ya Ahla Badr, right? When the Muslims retreated in the Battle of Hunayn and the Prophet ﷺ was calling them to come back, he called them, each group, by a designation. Oh, the people of Radwan, the Pledge of Ar-Radwan, meaning because of it, remember, you're special, then listen. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, it means that your iman should prompt you to do what follows. Listen to it carefully. If you have iman, what follows concerns you. What follows is for you. And if you follow it, you have iman. And if you have iman, you follow it. And if you don't follow it, what does that mean? That there's something wrong with the title. It means that you're not deserving of it. So follow what Allah is going to tell you. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So some of the Sahaba have said, when you hear, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَرْعِهَا سَمْعَكْ, meaning listen to it carefully. Allah is talking to the believers. What does He want from us? Because of our iman. So He says, لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ لَا تَقَدَّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So there are two qira'at here. لا تقدموا mean don't put forward. لا تقدموا meaning أنتم لا تتقدموا, meaning you don't be ahead. لا تقدموا, don't put anything ahead. And they actually complement each other, right? So imagine yourself now, right? So that we understand what this means. Imagine yourself now, visually, right? Walking with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Where do you walk with? Do you walk beside? Do you walk behind? Or do you walk in front? Right. So either beside him or behind him, but not in front of him. Why? Because he, alayhi salatu wasalam, will tell you where to go. You don't tell him where to go. He will say, go right, go left. He determines the speed, right? So the destination and the speed are up to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not up to us. So لا تقدموا means don't step ahead. لا تقدموا, okay, قالوا المفعول محذوف. لا تقدموا ماذا؟ محذوف. So I'm inserting a little bit of Arabic based on a request, inshallah, right? So hopefully you'd find that beneficial. Don't put what ahead of the Prophet? He says that's omitted. لا تقدموا ماذا؟ محذوف. Why? They say for two reasons, wallahu a'lam. One, to make it general so that لا تقدموا شيئاً أي شيء كان. Don't put anything ahead of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning any saying, any action, any thought, any preference, that shouldn't be ahead. Another saying, or another, according to another way of reading it, لا تقدموا, meaning the mere act of putting anything is prohibited, regardless of what that thing is. The mere act of putting anything ahead of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that is prohibited. So what is it that we're talking about here before we even talk about the reason why these ayats were revealed? Meaning, before the Prophet tells you this is halal and this is haram, don't go ahead and say this is halal and this is haram until he tells you. Before he tells you this is right and this is wrong, don't have that prejudgment that this is right and this is wrong. Right? Before he fasts, don't fast. So some of the Salaf in the Tafasir, they said that some people wanted to fast before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but they told them, no, the Prophet did not fast yet, meaning Ramadan. So wait until he fasts and then you fast. Or they wanted to slaughter before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to slaughter on Eid. And they say, you wait until he slaughters and then you slaughter. So that is a general rule, meaning that in all areas of the Sharia, you do not know what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and what is not, until the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells you. Add to it that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is wiser and more pious and more compassionate and merciful and more aware of the consequences of everything than you are. So why are you prompting him? Why are you suggesting? And why are you proposing? And why are you opposing? If you truly believe that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is a prophet of Allah. So, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Don't put anything ahead of Allah and the Messenger. And the insertion of Allah Azza wa Jal here, even though this is in reference to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is to indicate that, what? أن معارضة رسول الله كمعارضة الله عز وجل. If you oppose the Prophet, you're opposing Allah Azza wa Jal. If you're putting something ahead of the Prophet, you're putting it ahead of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because who tells you what Allah wants from you? There's only one. Who's that? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So, bayna yaday, meaning in the hands of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if you're sitting, if you're listening, understand that you're also between the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is revealing to the Prophet what to do and what to say. So honor the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by following his footsteps, not your own, right? And elevating his preferences more than your own and valuing his judgment more than your own. So لا تقدم بفعل أو بقول أو حتى بفكرة. يعني don't put anything ahead of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in terms of actions, in terms of sayings, and in terms of a thought. Even a thought shouldn't come before the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Right? Don't value yourself, as some of the people of Tafsir have said. Don't think so much of yourself that you think that you have what he does not have, or you thought of what he did not think of, or you have knowledge of what he was not taught. Right? Now, this is, and then Allah Azza wa Jal, when he says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, to stop you from doing this. Put a block between you and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, so you're never ahead of him, alayhi salatu wa salam, to avoid Allah's anger, to avoid going astray. And then he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, Allah knows what you say, and alim, he knows what you intend. Now, there is a story that indicates the reason why this and the following ayah was revealed. I'll tell you the story. But before we go into that story, this particular ayah, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله, is an extremely important ayah. Because anyone who innovates anything in Islam and indeed violated this ayah, right? That is, if you say that this salah is good, this dua is good, this dhikr is good, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not legislate it and did not command it, then in effect, what are you saying? I know more than he does. This is, يعني البدعه تقدم بين يدي الله ورسوله. If something is innovated, what are you doing? It says it's better this way, and the Prophet did not say that, but you say it's better this way, as if the Prophet is walking and you say let's take right, and he says no, straight, and you say right is better. Okay, this is stepping over the limit. So any bid'ah in belief, any bid'ah in action, if you say to something that is halal, it's haram, or haram, it's halal, that's overstepping, right? If you prefer something over the sharia intellectually or emotionally, that's overstepping. And putting something ahead of Allah and ahead of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, because you think that your intellect knows better and that your emotions know better than the all-knowing. So this ayah demands from us a complete surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, some on the intellectualist side who have, you know, historically Muslims, they've said, if there is a contradiction between the mind and the sharia, we will give reference to the mind over the sharia. فَإِن لَمْ نَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَإِنَّ نَكُونُ قَدْ قَدَحْنَا فِي دَلَالَةِ الْعَقْلِ, meaning that if we don't, if in the appearance of conflict between the sharia and my mind, meaning I read something in the Quran, I read something in the Sunnah, to my mind it doesn't make sense, so I then have to give preference according to them to my mind. Do you tell them why? He says, because my mind led me to know Allah and to believe in Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and to believe in Islam. So if I compromise the integrity of my mind, it means that it, what had led me to, is also compromised. You understand what they're saying? Meaning it led me to Islam. If I'm saying that my mind is incompetent, that now it does not know enough, means even it's leading me to Islam becomes suspect as well. So I always have to give preference to my mind over a preference to the sharia. That is a very fancy argument from the past. People today are not as smart as the people in the past. They just give preference to their minds without this, you know, having to justify it as the people in the past did. So how do you respond to this? Even if a person, you know, occurs to him, if my mind disagrees and my mind led me to Islam, is my mind incompetent? You say, understand the limits of your mind, right? And that it is in some areas very competent, and in another area it's very incompetent, right? Even in the dunya, you know a lot, but then there's an area that you come to and then you say what? I don't know, right? Or you make a judgment and you discover that that judgment is wrong and false and disastrous. That is a limitation. So your mind led you to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is there, led you to believe that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is a prophet of Allah and a messenger, right? Led you to believe that the Quran is a divine revelation. Once it had told you all of these things, does it not tell you also to surrender to them because they have what you do not have? Yeah? That Allah will tell you things that are beyond your mind? Sahih? You ma'i, right? It tells you something that is beyond your mind. But if you put your mind as a judge over what Allah tells you, what does that mean? That you believe in your mind, you don't really believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. If you say to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, I'll follow you as long as I understand what you're telling me, then what does that mean? You don't believe in him as a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. You believe in yourself. You're still the center. Allah is not the center. The Prophet alayhi salam is not the center. Remember we just finished the story of Musa and Al-Khadr? How many things Musa did not understand? But he said, what? There's a reason. Just go with him. There's a reason, but go. So your mind will fail you at some point. So if your mind is the center and you, in your emotions and your experience, you're the center, you are definitely will put yourself ahead of Allah and the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? So this ayah is also important for everybody who grows up or who lives or is educated in the West. Why is that? Because when you reside, you grow up, you're educated in it, it gives you certain advantages, right? There's no denying that. But it also gives you severe disadvantages. Because any culture, any system of knowledge, right, is a mold. And it gives you certain facts. And it's based on those presupposed facts. You start to think and frame and see the world around you. So the way that you understand Islam, if you grew up in the West, or you're educated, or you spent a lot of time here and you're absorbing what people believe and how they think, you're at a severe disadvantage until you rid yourself of that mold and surrender to Allah and His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So you will see us in the West, right? Understanding Islam or practicing Islam in Western minds, with Western sensibilities, with Western notions, but not until you actually really surrender to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and you say, I'll wait for you to teach me what is right and what is wrong. Okay? From the beginning, from the basics, from the foundations. Okay? So I'm not speaking Islam with an accent, right? No, I'm speaking Islam, right, from within. I'm not importing Islam and then mixing it with something else, but from within. So notions of progress, notions of freedom, notions of individualism, right? All these things, okay? You need to understand or investigate how much of that agrees with Islam and how much it doesn't, right? So when you find people, right, very individualistic in their understanding of the Sharia, freedom-oriented in their understanding of the Sharia, the culture, the manners, right? You wonder then, how much have we surrendered to Allah and the Prophet? And how much do we put ahead of them in terms of what we like, what we grew up with, and our own intellect and our own personal likes? So here this ayah is important. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Wait to hear what he says, and then you listen. And there is a story behind it, that Wafdu Bani Tamim, a delegation from Banu Tamim, came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Before they came, or once upon their arrival, Abu Bakr was sitting there, Umar radiallahu anhuma was sitting there next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Bakr said, Ammir alayhim fulan. He says, appoint so-and-so as their leader, Al-Aqra or Al-Qa'qa', someone like that. So Abu Bakr said, أمر عليهم, put Fulan as the leader. فقال عمر, بل أمر فلان. Umar said, no, put so-and-so as the leader. So Abu Bakr said, ما أردت إلا خلافي. He says, Abu Bakr, he says, you only want to disagree with me. Umar said, I don't want to disagree with you. So they started to argue. And their voices went up. And they started to shout at each other in the presence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Azza wa Jal says in the next ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. O you who have iman, don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this incident is important. Let's understand it, because there's a couple of benefits that are in it. Someone, when they hear this, they may say to themselves, well, how could, right? It may come to your mind, maybe not. They say, how could Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, right, raise their voice in the presence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in such a way? Does that not include, I mean, indicate disrespect or this or that? And here's the clincher. And if I were there, I would never do this, right? Like the piety of us all, right? But sometimes it comes to your mind. Right? If I was there, I would never do this, right? And of course, you know that that's false, right? That's really false piety, right? First of all, understand that it's not a requisite, it's not a condition of a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal to be complete and perfect all the time, right? So a wali of Allah, a siddiq, a muhaddath, this is a siddiq and a muhaddath, the best two in the ummah after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it's not a condition if they were to be that and they are that they be flawless. It's not the case. It's enough that their mistakes, their oversights, drown in the sea of good deeds that they've done, right? يعني الولي ولي الله عز وجل ليس من شرطه أن يكون معصوما ولكن أن يكون عنده من الصغائر ما يضيع في بحر حسناته. This is what it is, right? So a companion of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, if you hear that, sometimes they got angry, sometimes they did this, sometimes they did that, they're human beings and they do this, it happens. But the difference is what? Difference how they react to it afterwards, and how fast they repent, and how that incidents make them better people. That is the difference. So Umar radiallahu anhu, right? قال فكان إذا حدث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعدها من يحدثه حتى يستفهمه. يعني he wouldn't be loud next to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and will wait till the Prophet ask him. And if he were to talk or speak to the Prophet, he would be whispering to him. Right? Because that there's a limit here, you'll see in the ayah. And he didn't want to even approach that limit of raising his voice above the voice of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So either the Prophet inquires from Umar about something, then he talks, or if he speaks with a whisper-like voice. And that is how they are different. And if you want to understand that taqwa of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, just think about all the times that they went and fought with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, were beside him. All the time that they gave money for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon the request of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. All the times that they did this and this and this and that, and you understand their sacrifice. If you and I were at that time, right, we would be among the people who would fight next to him and give their money and do this or that. Allah knows best, right? But maybe Allah saved us, right? Because I think we would probably be leaning in between those Sahaba and the hypocrites. Wallahu a'lam. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla save us. So no false piety. You look at that and you think you could do better. No one could do better than Abu Bakr and Umar. But it's natural and it happens, right? So here Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, again, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So why the repetition again? They say that because you also need to listen this again. Pay attention. You could do the meaning, right? You could just leave it and just introduce the verb. But no, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, meaning, يَا أَهْلَ الْإِيمَانِ اسْمَعُوا ثَانِيًا. أنتم المقصودون بهذا We intend you, O people of Iman, this is for you, so listen to it and pay attention again, because if you have Iman, you will follow what follows. What follows is, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voices above the voices of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولا تجهروا له بالقول. And don't be loud when talking to him, like you're loud to each other. Or also it could be interpreted, and don't talk to him casually like you talk to each other. Meaning, don't call him Ya Muhammad, but call him Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasul Allah. Right? Not casually. أن تحبط أعمالكم أي لألا تحبط أعمالكم أو كراهة أن تحبط أعمالكم. So don't do this unless your deeds will go invalid while you do not know. So don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. That includes what happened with Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما, and includes also an incident that follow, it will be in ayah number 4, of people who are crying out and calling the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. It covers actually both. So don't raise your voices above his voice, meaning when he speaks, his voice should be the loudest, and that tells you few things. One, a respect that should be given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his presence. That is, you only raise your voice, right, when you think that you're important or more important than the person sitting next to you. As important as or more important than, right? That's usually, typically, when you raise your voice, right? So if you're in the presence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and you believe that he's better than you and knows more than you, why would you raise your voice? You could suggest, you could recommend, you could ask, but you're not better and you don't know any better and you're not even his equal. So why would you raise his voice above the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? So here, a person needs to see himself next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam as inferior, and only then would lowering that voice make sense. So it tells you a couple of things. One, an adab, a manner, تَأَدَّبُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِهِ, meaning how this is how you should speak and behave next to a prophet of Allah who hears Allah's revelation and Allah talks to. This is how you should be. And also, don't think of yourself as an equal or having as much value as he does, so that your voice should be loud. It always should be lower. So you see, if you go to visit a king who's powerful, how you talk to him, right? How you're supposed to speak to your parents. This is how it also should be, because there's a rank, there's a difference. So it should never be in a position of an equal. And it continues here, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضِ. لَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, meaning don't be loud, right? Don't be loud. But if we want to say that this, the continuation of the ayah, carries another meaning, in addition to it also emphasizing the first part, لا تجهروا له بالقول also, as we said, could mean, don't be casual when you speak to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he is who? Rasulullah. So don't call him Ya Muhammad, Ya Aba al-Qasim, right? But rather Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah, right? To honor him in that title. So why is it that we should do this? Don't raise your voices and don't be casual when speaking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أن تحبط أعمالكم أي لألا تحبط أعمالكم, so that your actions, your deeds don't go invalid. They don't become invalid while you do not know. Say, well, how could the deeds, my deeds, become invalid when I do this? So Ibn Kathir said, because if you do this and you anger the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who becomes angry with you? Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So if you anger the Prophet with this misbehavior, lack of manners and consideration, then Allah Azza wa Jal becomes angry with you. So that is a reason. Another said that حبوط العمل يعني الكفر, They said that the invalidation of a deed is disbelief. This is what it is. But hear that if you do this and you continue to do it over and over and over, it's going to breed into you a disregard for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? That is, eventually it leads a person to adopt a position of disbelief, to become a disbeliever. Not immediately, huh? Not immediately, not in the first instance that it happens. But if they disrespect the Prophet this way, this is how they talk to him, this is how they address him, so they don't esteem him, they don't respect him, and they continue to do this, it will breed, what is going to grow inside the heart is what? A disrespect and a disregard for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how the deeds will be invalid. Because the only thing that invalidates deeds completely is kufr. Right? Or if we say, as the first saying, that this is a sin, then a sin can validate some good deeds. How? Because it will counterbalance them. Right? That is, if a person goes, gives sadaqah, and then steals. You follow? So these things do what? They kind of cancel each other. So you could say you have invalidated your deed in a sense of what? That you've done something good, but now you took it away from yourself. So that's an invalidation. هذا حبوط عمل. Unless you repent, then your deed is saved. So the thing that invalidates everything is kufr. Partially, some sins do. Right? Now, Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullah, he said, وَحُرْمَةُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَيًّا كَحُرْمَتِهِ مَيِّتًا. The sanctity that belongs to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam alive is like that when he's dead. Right? Is like that when he's dead. Because you could say, well, how do we apply this today? When they're around the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, absolutely. But how do you apply this today and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had passed away? Right? So if you were to visit the masjid in Medina and you go to say salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam there, you will notice that they've written this ayah, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is in, around the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you're also supposed to observe this adab. You're not loud. Right? You don't clamor, you don't shout. But rather, you lower your voice, like he was there, alayhi salatu wasalam, alive. That is the adab that you should feel. And in fact, this goes to include the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So Umar radiallahu anhu, once they were two men loud arguing in the masjid, meaning masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. فَقَالَ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَنْتُمَا قال من الطائف. He says, where are you from? They said, we are from الطائف. قال لو كنتما من أهل المدينة لأوجعتكما. He says, if you were from the people of Medina, I would hit you until you are hurt, because you don't raise your voice in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So that includes the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. That also includes, right, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَلَامُهُ إِذَا تُلِيَ وَإِذَا قُرِئَ كَمَ لَوْ أَنَّهُ يَقُولُهُ. And if the Prophet, if someone is sitting and reading the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a halaqah, in a study circle, in a khutbah, in a lesson, in whatever, right? It's as if the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam himself is speaking. And then we raise our voices or we turn away. That is like we have raised our voices against his voice, or we turned away from him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we need to honor the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't simply like sing the praises of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without reading his words. What does it mean to love him, alayhi salatu wasalam? These things mean love. These things mean respect. Meaning you don't innovate anything beyond what he commanded. You don't go against his message. As we said before, it's not loving Isa alayhi salam to say that he's the son of God. Because then you would be telling him you've lied in your message. You with me? Okay, I want that to make sense to you. If you're telling Isa, Isa is saying, Inni Abdullahi wa Rasuluh, I am the servant of Allah and his messenger. You tell him, no, you're the son of God. That's respect. You're telling him you're lying, right? No, respect is to say yes to what he said and no to what he said, right? No to what he said no to and yes to what he said to. So for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it includes what? If you love him, then you have a book, right? That is his hadith, and you read from it. And then you learn it, and you memorize it, and you follow it. That's what his love is. But nasheeds? Come on, right? This is, you know, this is the job of the foolish. You think that you've done your job when you listen to a nasheed about, oh ya Muhammad, right? And then nasheed is over. It hasn't changed anything in you. You may feel a little bit nicer, right? But it just hasn't changed anything in you. You haven't learned anything new. Very superficial, you know, knowledge, but you don't know the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you love him, you have a book in his shama'il, his description, in his seerah, in his sayings, and you read. That's what it means. You follow his sunnah, right? Let's take a couple of adab here, right, that extend also beyond the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. First, if you remember when we said walking with, where do you walk next to the Prophet ﷺ, or ahead or not? That also we could extend it to walking next to your elders, your parents, and people of knowledge. يعني من الأدب ألا تمشي أمام والديك ولا من أمام من هو أسن منك ولا أمام من هو أعلم منك. من الأدب, from أدب, that if you're walking with your parents, you don't walk ahead of them. That's part of honoring them. Unless they want you, you're going to go and open a door for them or something like that. But you don't walk ahead. Or if a person is older than you, you don't walk ahead. Respect is beside or behind. And the same thing, if a person is more knowledgeable than you, you don't walk ahead. That's the respect that you give to people, right? Raf'u al-sawti, being loud. In Islam, what is the manner usually? Is to lower your voice. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ, right? As it's going to say in the next ayah. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ, lower your voice. إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ, the most heinous and awful of sounds is the sound of donkeys. Meaning they could be loud. I mean, if you're talking about loud, here's something that is loud. But is that desirable? So again, this is a cultural thing. It varies from one area to the other, but at the same time, subject your culture to Islam. Why are you so loud? Why are you so loud? What is it that you need to convey to be loud? If you're giving a khutbah, be loud. If you're in jihad, then be loud. But elsewhere, why are you so loud when you talk, when you joke, when you're walking down the street? Why are you so loud? No, lower your voice. Lower your voice. That is the adab that you're supposed to have, especially in the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, but also outside, male and female. You notice this. Males are sometimes loud, and then you astonish that females are also loud. And that should be the opposite, right? So preserve your haya, preserve your dignity, and don't be loud when you speak, right? And subhanAllah here, another manner here, this is comes from a Shafi'i rahimahullah. Somebody was kind of debating and arguing with him, and his voice started to rise. He said, say the truth and whisper, because being loud does not make you more cogent in your argument. Something like that. Meaning that, have a cogent, meaning a real argument with evidence, and whisper. That would be enough. But being loud does not make you more right. Right? So keep that in mind the next time you want to argue with someone, especially at home, and you think that to prove your point, you need to be loud. Does that add anything to your argument? Oh, now I can see your point since you shouted. Now I can understand what you're saying. Nah? Does that make sense? It's the same argument, you're just shouting it. It doesn't change anything. But he says what? Think about what you want to say, present the proof and whisper. You're powerful then. But the sign of the weak is that they need to shout. If you need to shout, then you're weak because you don't have anything else with you. You're just shouting. I'm right. You see how people, social media and on TV and whatever, how they shout at each other? You don't get anything from that. But they shout because it's just empty. But if you really know what you're saying, you don't need to shout. So that's another adab to keep in mind. That as we say, it's an extension of what we've heard so far. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, and he continues with this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ وَالْغَضُّ هُوَ النَّقْصُ. Indeed, those who lower their voices next to the Prophet, next to the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, these are the ones whom Allah has tested their hearts to establish taqwa in them, or had purified their hearts to put taqwa in them, or he knows that there is taqwa in them. All of that is applicable. They will have forgiveness and a great reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal here, after saying to the people, don't do this and don't do that, he wanted to explain to them that those who follow, what is it that they get and why is it that they follow what Allah had said? So those who, after they hear this and they lower their voices, so when they speak to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right? One difference I forgot to mention. When it says here in the ayah number 2, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, the difference between it, بَيْنَ لَا تَجْهَرُوا وَلَا تَرْفَعُوا, they say one additional kind of layer of meaning is لا ترفع says don't raise your voice above. لا تجهر says don't be equal in voice, right? So lower. So one's established, don't go higher. The other one says don't be the same, meaning is always lower. Your voice is always lower. So here, this one, when it says those who lower their voices next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and have listened to them, to Allah, these Allah had tested their hearts so that they will have taqwa in them. So Allah commanded them, and that command entered their hearts. And they decided to follow, and they said yes. Despite feeling otherwise, any other urge that they have, they said, yes, we will do that. Because of that, Allah tested the heart with that command, and that heart acquired taqwa because of it. So this tells you that Allah Azza wa Jal tests the heart. So imtahana, يعني اختبر, fatana. Something will come to your heart. A command from Allah Azza wa Jal to do something. The heart will tell you, no, it's difficult. Or I like something else. Or I don't feel like doing it. Or meaning that the heart will object to it. Right? So here the heart has an option. You are struggling with. You either follow Allah or you follow yourself or you follow somebody else that you love who has inhabited your heart. Anyway, the heart is the battle arena here. So if you follow Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah purifies your heart from attachments, from enslavements, from weakness, from love that harms you, and purifies it. فَهَذَا الْإِمْتِحَانِ, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, as if you put something and you wash it, and you get it out and it's clean, and now it has space for taqwa. Because you've made the space for taqwa. You said, I listen to Allah more than this person. Allah more than me. Allah more than my habit. Allah more than my mind. Allah more than my likes. Allah more than my addictions. Allah more than my family. Allah more than this. Then your heart now has freed itself. So Allah expands it for taqwa to enter. And when taqwa enters, then you could follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah will test the heart. So the test does not only come to the body, but the test mainly is about the heart. Right? Yeah, the body struggles. وَلَكِنَّ الْجِسْمَ تَبَعٌ لِلْقَلْبِ, and it always secondary to the heart. You're always being tested in the heart. So Allah Azza wa Jal tests the heart So always go back and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for taqwa, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for support and insight and strength, because the heart is always being tested. And it's always making choices every single day to go in very different directions, and sometimes right and sometimes wrong. So if Allah tests your heart and you make the right choice, Iman is strong. And it continues to be stronger the more that you make the right choices. Then obedience is easier. And listening to Allah's commands makes sense, and they are easier. And the Quran is easier. And you think about the next life more than this dunya, because the heart has that capacity. When the heart does not have it and it's inhabited by different masters and different loves and different attachments, the words of Islam or the commands of Allah don't make as much sense. Ibadah is heavy, right? It does not call to you. It does not motivate you. So understand the dilemma of the heart, and understand the test of the heart, and understand that it needs your attention and it needs your support. So if you find your heart suffering, if you find your heart under anxiety, or the pressure of anxiety, depression, or weakness, whatever it is, understand that it is being tested and it needs to make the right choices. So rescue your heart, right? And pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to rescue your heart so that it has a permanent place of taqwa in it. Then the rest, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal, is easier. So those people, because they decided we will listen, Allah Azza wa Jal gave them taqwa and gave them space in their hearts for it. And He says they have forgiveness, wa ajrun azim, and a great reward. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those who are calling you from behind the hujurat, most of them are foolish or of little minds or unwise. And this is in reference to the delegates, okay, that used to come to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is in reference to one particular delegate from Banu Tamim. They came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and at the time that they came in was the time of rest. So the Prophet was in his hujurat. So what is the hujurat? So the home of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, right, and each one of his homes is made up of one room, like one single room, and there is a small yard after outside. So the one room, which is, you know, complete room with walls and a ceiling. And then you step out, and there's a little yard that is fenced, right? Okay? And there is no roof to it. And it is from that that there is a door that the Prophet ﷺ would exit to go to the masjid, right? So it would be the room, the hujra, and you exit from there. So what is fenced without a roof is al-hujra. And several of them are called hujurat, right? Several of them are called hujurat. So summiyat hujra li'annaha tuhjar, because it's fenced. That's why it's called hujra. Okay, there's something that separates between you and them. So that is what is called hujra, right? So the Prophet ﷺ is resting. They come and they want to see him, and they want to see him now, and they are Bedouin. So they start calling on him, yelling from outside the hujurat, outside the dwelling place, Ya Muhammad, come out. Ya Muhammad, come out. We want to talk to you. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jal says, those who are calling you, yelling like that at you, calling him by his name like that, from behind the hujurat, most of them have no intellect. Foolish. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. And if they were to be patient until you came out to them, it would have been better for them. Wallahu ghafoorun raheem. And Allah Azza wa Jal is forgiving and merciful. So of course, they lacked these manners. and understanding the state of the Prophet والسلام, and the respect that is owed to him. So Allah revealed this so that they and everybody else understands how do you deal with the Prophet والسلام, and that you do not address him and you don't deal with him like you deal with anybody else. So you don't call him by his names and you don't yell at him from behind when he's asleep or resting, demanding that he should come out and speak to you immediately, but rather you wait for him. And that is the virtue of patience with which they did not have. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا If they were patient enough that until you came out to them, that would be better. Better for them in the dunya and better for them in the akhirah. Better for them because then they would have respected the Prophet ﷺ. Better because then the Prophet would give them what they want without angering him, right? Without testing his patience. And without angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also because it would teach them patience and there are appropriate times and places for you to get what you want. So it tells you that, right? And this is a virtue in Sharia also. Patience, right? Patience. This is not something that is common today, but we need to learn patience and we need to know that we need to slow down. That if Allah Azza wa Jal commands you to be patient at particular times, then you need to be patient at those times. Patient in salah, so you don't rush. Patient in the Quran, so you don't rush. Patience in helping people, so you don't rush. Because everything else is teaching you impatience. So you want to come to the masjid, but you have no patience to learn. No patience to sit in the khutbah. No patience to sit and learn the Quran. Well, how are you going to learn anything if there is no patience? So if you were to see Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, what would you say? Come and teach me right now. Answer my questions right now. I need to know this right now. He tells you this is not the time to know and this is not the time to learn. Wait. So you need to learn how to wait until it's the right time. Right? So patience is needed in Sharia. When things don't go your way and you say, I'll wait till Allah Azza wa Jal replaces this hardship with ease. I'll wait till Allah Azza wa Jal teaches me this, the wisdom behind this suffering, the wisdom behind that loss. I'll wait till I understand the wisdom of this command or the wisdom of the behind that prohibition. I'll wait. But patience means that you defer to Allah Azza wa Jal and to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam so that it is their time that determines what you learn. It is their schedule, if you can call it that, that determines when you know and what you know, not you. So again, we're not the center. Allah Azza wa Jal is. It's not like we're in the middle and everybody else and everything else is orbiting around us. You tell me what I need to know at this moment and you make sense to me and you give me what I want and I'm at the center. Because the world only makes sense if it revolves around me. No, we are revolving around Islam, right? And we're fortunate enough if Allah Azza wa Jal accepts our good and forgives the bad that we do. So Allah Azza wa Jal here said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ Most of them have no minds. Meaning, yes, right? They're human beings and they have minds and if you talk to them, they'll understand what you're saying. But what does it mean to have aql? It's not simply an IQ. Right? Aql is not an IQ, meaning if I present you with a math problem or I tell you to present you with a psychological analysis, I tell you, do you understand? You say, yeah, I understand. That's just IQ, comprehension. Aql is not this. Aql is the ability to know right from wrong and then do what? Follow. That's aql. That's aql, it's not IQ. So you can have somebody who's really smart. So that at times you say, how could a person be so smart and yet have such stupid ideas? It could be this smart, but you can't see this because they are not related, right? Even in Islam, in the history of Islam, if you see some of the people who are philosophers and Mu'tazila, they're smart people, really smart, great in language, great in thinking, great insights, smart. But it doesn't mean that they have aql necessarily. So aql means that why you stop yourself from doing something foolish. And you hold on to what helps you. This is the aql. Where does it come from? يعني من أين يأتي العقل؟ من العقال. You know what a عقال is? When you tie something. You remember the hadith of Prophet ﷺ with the camel, عقلها وتوكل. tie it and then have tawakkul. This is the iqal, when you tie something. So why is it called aql? This feature in you, right? Why is it called aql? Because it ties you from doing something stupid. Stops you. So as if it ties you from running away. This is what aql is. So if you have a mind that knows right from wrong, and then you follow it, then you have aql. If you have a mind that knows right from wrong, but you don't follow it, you have no aql. So أكثرهم لا يعقلون. They lack that ability. Because if they know who he is, they wouldn't talk to him like that. And if they know that they could talk to him later, they would be patient. But subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Maybe we'll take one more ayah. We'll see, inshallah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that is what? Number what? There's number one, number two, number ayah number six, but it is number three. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Right? And this is dealing now, right, with other Muslims, right? But who may not be on the straight and narrow. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So again, meaning, if you have iman, your iman should make you wise enough, intelligent enough to observe the following. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ. If a fasiq, if a rebellious person, meaning a sinner, if a sinner comes to you with news, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then investigate it, make sure that it is true. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ فَتَثَبَّتُوا. There's another qira'ah that says تَثَبَّتُوا. And تَثَبَّتُوا is the same as تَبَيَّنُوا, except that it adds to it the meaning of be patient before you judge. So there's an additional meaning of patience. يعني تَرَيَّث. Right? So يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who have iman, if a sinner comes to you with a news, then investigate it and be patient, unless, meaning if you believe him, unless you might harm people without an intention, ignorantly, and you will regret what you have done. That is, if you take and you accept what they say without verification, you may likely go and hurt people unintentionally with ignorance, وتصبحوا, and then you will start to be regretful for what you have done. Here it says that there is a story again that tells us why this was revealed. Wallahu a'lam. Right? And that story is that the Prophet ﷺ once sent a man. He sent him to collect the zakah. So when he wanted to go and bring the zakah, in the middle somewhere, he got scared. He didn't want to continue. So he comes back to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, those people did not want to give zakah. Right? The people, those people on the other end, right? The person who was supposed to collect the zakah to the Prophet ﷺ said, where is the messenger of the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ? He's not here, he's late. And I'm afraid that the Prophet ﷺ is angry with us. Better do we do what? We collect it and we go and we deliver it. So when they went on a journey to Medina, along the way, before they enter Medina, they see some horsemen riding in their direction. They say to the horseman, where are you going? He says, we're going to you. They say, why are you going to us? He says, because the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ came back and he said that you wanted to kill him and he didn't want to give zakah. They say, we've never met him. So they go to the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet said, قَالَ مَنَعْتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَتُرِيدُ قَتْلَ رَسُولِي. He says, you wanted to not pay the zakah and he wanted to kill my messenger that I'm sending to you. He said, I've never seen him. He didn't come to us. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this. That is, you can receive news, but then whether you accept it or reject it depends on the person who's delivering that news to you. And that is an adab. That is, if you were to apply it, it would serve you well, especially today. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Because of your iman, be smart enough so that if a person comes to you and he is fasiq, fasiq is a sinner. So opposite the fasiq is a adl, a reliable person who is Muslim that you trust. He comes and he tells you something and you know him to be honest and trustworthy. What happens? Do you accept or reject? You accept. Somebody comes and tells you and he's honest, you've tested him, He's pious. He comes and tells you something. خبر العدل مقبول. A trustworthy person, if he narrates something, if he tells you something, you accept it. That's how we operate. Because I trust you. The fasiq, if he comes, the sinner, if he comes and he reports something, what do you do with it? Do you accept it? Do you reject it? What do? You have reasons to suspect that what he says is false, and reason to suspect that what he says is true. So what do? He says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَوْ فَتَثَبَّتُوا. Meaning you have to investigate right now, and you have to make sure. On its own, it's insufficient. At the same time, on its own, you don't have sufficient evidence to reject it. وَلَكِنْ يَبْحَثُكَ عَلَى الْبَحْثِ. يعني خبر الفاسق يبعثك على البحث ولا تزم. So the news that comes to you from the sinner prompts you to investigate, but you're not sure until you figure out. And some they say, some أهل العلم, they said, والفسق يتبعض. They say the fisq, kind of sinning, okay, can be divided. So a person who is a sinner here and may lie about this may not lie about other things. So you may accept him here, but not there, right? Anyway, I don't know if that's very useful today, but it tells you that you need to be sure before you accept anything, if it's coming from suspect sources. Because if not, you're gonna adopt positions, you will say words, you will actually commit actions that will cause you regret. You will say things that you can't take back. If you listen to a problem from one side but not the second, what happens? You'll always side with this person but not the other. Not until you listen to both sides. And that is very useful today, because most of what you hear is coming from suspect sources, right? Everything that you hear from the news is mostly slanted, mostly obscured, mostly one-sided, incomplete, serving an agenda, whatever you want to say about it, complete lies and fabrications, almost complete lies and fabrications. It's almost the opposite of what is happening. Right? It's almost the opposite. That is, if, subhanAllah, it's as if you wanted kind of to flip the narrative, a piece of news, and you want to change good, bad, bad, good, right? The news would actually be more accurate if you switch it 180 degrees. So the hero is the villain and the villain is the hero. It's actually more accurate than what they're reporting. So that tells you that, and it's really important. Whatever news you hear, verify it and don't believe it just because you hear it. Not just because a news agency or a newsroom or report that's the world as it is. It's false, right? So, and the fisq, there's fisq that is kufr, although that's not what is intended here. There's fisq that is all the way to kufr, and there's fisq that is simply disobedience. Here, what is meant by it is disobedience. That the person is still Muslim, but is disobedient. So if we are suspect of a sinner who reports news to us, what about a non-Muslim who reports things to us? So you have to be confident before you judge and confident before you believe anything and receive it with suspicion, and don't believe everything that you hear. In fact, as I said, if you switch it, it probably is closer to the truth. Then, and this is probably, maybe, should we stop here? Do you guys have questions? Anyone ask? Because I'd rather take questions rather than continue, especially Isha's 10:15. So let me pause here, inshallah. We'll come to it, inshallah, next week. I'll connect this ayah to the ayah that follows, inshallah. So we stopped at ayah 6, inshallah. Yeah, go ahead. Jazakallah khair. Good question. So he's saying that if somebody wants to use the story of Musa and Al-Khadr alayhim as-salam, and he says that my sheikh has special knowledge that nobody else has, right? He has access to it. And they based practice and beliefs based on that knowledge as well. we said, okay, first of all, we introduced the disagreement when it came to Al-Khidr, that he's a prophet or not, and that the preference of some scholars that he is a prophet of Allah, including Ibn Hajar. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah prefers the opinion that he's a prophet of Allah alayhi salam. And the reason we explained, why the evidence that they saw that he is a prophet of Allah. We say, first of all, if he's a prophet of Allah, let's assume that first, the knowledge that Al-Khidr has, nobody else has. So no one in life today can have access to similar types of knowledge, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla teaches his prophets and his messengers some of the ghaib, but that type of ghaib, nobody else has access to it. So we said that when some of the Khawarij, I think they asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, they said, what about killing children? Because they're asking about Khawarij are about killing people, and who's Muslim and who's not, and the children of the disbelievers or apostates, are they still Muslims or not? So Ibn Abbas said, قَالَ لَوْ تَعْلَمُ مِنْهُمْ مَا عَلِمَ الْخِضْرُ فَفْعَلْ. He says, if you know from them, meaning the children, what Al-Khidr knows from them, then go ahead. Meaning to tell him that you could never know this. You could never kill children. So no one has access to the type of knowledge that Al-Khidr has. Absolutely not. That's one. Second of all, if somebody, any kind of sheikh comes and he says, I have something, and by that he wants to complement the Sharia, we say to them that this is bid'ah and misguidance. هذا ضلال. Because we don't need you to add anything else. And that's exactly what we were talking about, is that you're adding another dhikr. Where is the dhikr coming from? And the Prophet ﷺ did not give us all that we need until you came and gave us to us. It means that all of us were not living in deficiency and in completion until you came. So whether you say a particular salah or a particular dua or a particular celebration or a particular... الدينُ قد كمل. Deen is complete. So there's nothing else that we need from you, right? The third is that the best of the best, right? Al-Muhaddath, right? Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, right? See, Abu Bakr was not a Muhaddath. Umar was a Muhaddath, meaning he gets inspired, right? Meaning that the angel of Allah Azza wa Jal would just put something in his head and he will speak and it will be so. But even Umar radiallahu anhu, he would not claim the knowledge of that sheikh. The knowledge of, I know so-and-so and what he did. I know so-and-so and how he will die. I know so-and-so and his past and his present. He does not claim that. But his knowledge is limited to few things here and there, and even Umar, radiallahu anhu, makes mistakes. And you could see it, okay? He predicts something or this, and it's not, as he said. So Umar, radiallahu anhu, when he is the best muhaddath, he still makes mistakes, then your sheikh definitely makes mistakes, but this is not how you treat him. And Umar never introduced things in Sharia like your sheikh is doing, so your sheikh is definitely overstepping. So the story of Al-Khidr has no support and no basis. Of course, they'll continue to use it, but it doesn't support you, because whatever you're presenting, the rest of the Sharia contradicts it, right? And Al-Khidr did not have the same Sharia as Musa, by the way. Right? So you had another question. Yeah. So verifying news is very difficult, right? Because that's a dilemma for nations, right? So I mean, how can we as individuals kind of tackle that problem? But at least you understand that there is always an agenda, right? Like, none of the news that you hear is unbiased. There's always an agenda. There's always one writing for a particular reason to serve another purpose. And order. It's all propaganda. They're trying to help you, or not help you, move you to believe certain things and unbelieve other things, to be on their side opposite the other side. Everybody's trying to do this. And we know this now more than ever. So if that's the case, take it, but then compare it against other sources of news, those that will be tend to be opposite sides, and see what is this person saying versus the other. You may be lost in the middle, right? But it's not always necessary to verify, but be aware of the discrepancy. And let time tell you, right? What is right and what is wrong if it's not urgent? Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, you spread what you know to be true, right? You spread what you know to be true. Otherwise, if it's not, if it's suspect, if it's not necessary, there is no reason to mention, or you mention it referenced. So-and-so said, okay? And then it is al-uhdatu alayhi, it's their responsibility, so you cleared yourself. But I mean, you can kind of like put an addendum to it or a note that. But by the way, also remember that they have an agenda, so understand that you're not really hearing everything that's there. That's it. Yeah, yes. No, Jazakallah khair, Jazakallah khair. So that will clarify that, inshallah. So of course, you said the comparison. Am I making a comparison in between the educational system here? That's what you said, right? The educational system here and the educational system in Muslim countries. And you're saying maybe and perhaps the educational system over here can be superior in ways, right, to what is happening over there when you look at acts like racism and mistreatment of Muslims and, right, and justice, and see how they treat refugees here versus how they treat refugees there. Right? Okay. So, no, to be honest, I wasn't really comparing it to a Muslim country. I was comparing it to the past. Right, yeah. No, not a Muslim country. La, la, la. Yeah, it's to how they lived, how they behaved, and how they understood Islam versus how we understand Islam today. But I was not defending a particular country here and there. Barakallahu fiqh. Zakum Allah. So we'll conclude, inshallah, today. If you do have questions, inshallah, just keep them, write them down. We'll answer, inshallah, more next week. Barakallahu fiqhum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.